All right, folks, welcome back. This is JE Live coming at you live after the Rams won their second preseason game of the year, their second game in a row, starting off 2024 the right way. Not that it really matters. I mean, it is just preseason after all, but nonetheless, I mean, hey, you know, kind of cool. We're going to talk about quite a few things. Obviously there's a lot that we can talk about. I know you guys are definitely going to want to talk about Stetson Bennett. So we're going to have plenty of stuff to talk about. And, we're going to have plenty of content throughout the week. And I don't know if they're going to make any cuts, I don't know, early, but we'll see. Just want to let you guys know that today's sponsor of the live stream, of course, is our sponsor, BetUS. You can go and use my promo link in the description below and get 125% sign-up bonus up to $2,000 three times using that code. Go check out BetUS. That is where you should be betting. So, thank you to BetUS for sponsoring the show, and let's dive into the rest of this. So, look, I don't think we're going to do any call-ins until the regular season. I know I was asked that, and I think that's kind of how I want to do it. This is a warm-up for me. This is preseason for me. So let me prove that I can do this, just me, and then we'll do call-ins during the season. So that'll be pretty soon, obviously next month, but yeah, it's just preseason. I'm going to do without the call-ins cause I need to have my preseason. but yeah, so look, Stetson Bennett, we're going to start with first. How's everyone doing? Hope everyone is doing well. Appreciate you hanging out in the live stream. I know it's 10:46 Eastern time. I know it's Saturday, but still, I appreciate the dedication. I know you guys on the West Coast, it's like around dinner time. Maybe you've already had dinner, but let's talk about Stetson Bennett. So I thought you saw clear improvement from the week prior, but just because it's clearly better than a week ago when he threw four interceptions doesn't mean it's okay. It's not okay because right now he is not an NFL backup quarterback. He's just not. He's a guy that is fighting to be a third string. So I thought you saw some good things, but the overall genuine concern of mine when I watch Stetson Bennett, it's very simple. There's one thing he does that scares the hell out of me, and that is the fact that he is a slow mental processor of the game. Going from read to read, he's slow at it. And look, I'm not trying to say that I'd be better, so please don't put that in the comment section. But as opposed to other, backups in the league, there are people that, they'll like Stetson Bennett and they'll say, oh, yeah, he's way better than Easton Stick or whoever. It's like, well, no. Easton Stick has actually started games in the NFL and has played at a decent level. So I look at backups around the league and I'm like, are the Rams really going into week one with Stetson Bennett as their backup because Jimmy Garoppolo got himself suspended first two games? Are we really going to see that? You have options. Ryan Tannehill, you could trade for Zach Wilson. You could trade for Mac Jones. Someone just mentioned Bailey Zappi if he gets cut. And so I don't think they have a good enough backup. Stetson can be a three, but is he one of the best 53 on this team? And the answer is absolutely not. He is not one of the best 53 players on this team. So I don't know how they're going to go about that. Maybe they'll just keep one on the roster. They'll keep Stafford. Obviously, they don't have to keep Garoppolo because he just goes to the suspended list. But we'll see what ends up happening there. Bennett had some good throws, especially under duress. So I'm not going to act like he didn't play well at all. But that decision in the end zone was terrible. Absolutely terrible on fourth down in the red zone at the goal line. Just threw it right at him. Just bad. Then the play where he's escaping and he fumbles, bad. If this was the regular season, there's zero chance the Rams win this game. Absolutely zero. Those were two key and critical errors, and that should have cost them the game. But because this is preseason, the Rams are able to get by. And that's no knock on the defense, because I thought they played extremely well today. But I wanted to start with Stetson Bennett. I thought the throw to J.J. Lapp was great. Spectacular throw, great connection, everything, just perfect, right on the money. But again, football, and especially playing quarterback, is way more than that, okay? So I want to make that clear before we, you know, start championing a guy who threw a big-time pass down the field. I mean, I give a lot of credit to J.J. Lapp. The guy came from Cortland. That's D3. SUNY Cortland. So, you know, that I did want to bring that up. But, Bennett, to me, I don't feel confident in. I don't know what his ceiling is, but I don't feel like his ceiling is that of a starting quarterback. I feel good saying that. I feel like he could be a spot starter. When I watch Stetson Bennett, I think of one player every time. I'm going to be honest with you. It's John Wolford. So take with that however you will, but he feels like John Wolford to me. I don't see him being the heir to Stafford's throne at all. I know a lot of people mentioned that early on when he was drafted, probably don't still believe that. But at one point, that was that. I think it's important for us to temper our expectations with a player like this, because I understand people like Bennett. There's a giant Stetson fan club. There are people that were leaving negative reviews and negative posts on Downtown Rams because Alexis and I called out Stetson Bennett, basically said he didn't play well enough. But the fact is he has not played like a backup quarterback. So, yes, he got two wins in a row, and I have no issue with him personally, right? I actually liked the pick. I saw somebody with a higher floor than giving credit for, and maybe a higher ceiling. But currently, as of right now, I think Stetson Bennett is a potential backup quarterback in this league, long-term backup, but could likely end up just being a three. I mean, that's how I feel. So we'll see if that's what happens. I don't want to spend too much time on talking, you know, about Stetson Bennett, but I wanted to make that clear that I don't think Stetson Bennett is anything special, okay? I do not. I think Luis Perez on the other sideline was probably the better quarterback, if you ask me. They didn't let him throw deep down the field or anything like that, but, you know, I still think Bennett has a long way to go, and that's to be expected. But, you know, I was hoping to see a little bit more. He was supposed to have a really high ceiling and a really high floor and a low ceiling. I don't think he's got a high floor, guys. I think he's got kind of a normal rookie floor, but then he doesn't have the higher ceiling because this is somebody that is an older rookie. So it's kind of the worst of all worlds, but we'll see what ends up happening with him. And again, to be fair to him, he's gotten the job done 2 weeks in a row where he's won the game. So, you know, hats off to him for sticking through it. He's been somebody that's really held, you know, hung in there despite not playing all that well. You know, he hasn't completely just fallen off a cliff or anything like that. So I do want to give him props there and recognize, you know, he's a human being and all that. But yeah, I haven't been overly impressed with Bennett. We'll just say that. Wildman Samurai, thank you for the 5. Rams have depth. Really like the O-line and D-line. Horns up. I agree completely. Really like what I'm seeing from the offensive line as well. Tim03B, thank you for the 2. I'm not a fan of Stetson. He think he good. He ain't. I never get into that because I don't know how that whole thing works. I don't know how Stetson's brain works. I've never talked to Stetson personally, so I can't tell you for sure that's the type of person he is. Like, He thinks he's better than everyone else. I can't say that for sure. I don't know. I actually want him to do well. I'm not a hater of his. I'm just, you know, kind of telling you, you know, essentially my thoughts, my takeaways from this game. And that was one of them. These games mainly show how well the Rams draft. Unexpected Savage, thank you for the two. Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely fair to say. And we're going to go through it all. Starting, well, now we'll move on to the rushing, right? And I was really impressed with Zach Evans today. Probably the best game I've ever seen Zach Evans play as a Ram. And I thought he looked really confident. I thought he was quick to react. I mean, yeah, he missed a pretty bad read where he had a wide open crease and, you know, ran right into a guy. But I thought I thought Zach Evans, all in all, had his best game as a Ram. Now, is that going to get him on the roster? I don't think so. Okay. So then you look at Boston Scott. I thought Scott's 34-yarder was great, but, you know, he wasn't really going to play that much. I think it's because Zach Evans went down. They really wanted to give Evans more run, more burn, if you will. And, I mean, I thought Evans looked good. I do have an interesting thing because, you know, during the broadcast, I thought this was great by Mina Kimes. She said it. And essentially in a way where Zach Evans kind of fits the older mold for Rams running back nowadays, kind of like what they're doing with that gap scheme. They're really looking at guys like Boston Scott. They're really looking at guys like Kyren Williams. They're looking at guys like Blake Corum who can win in that gap scheme instead of the outside zone. Zach Evans is more of an outside zone running back in a mainly gap scheme offense. Is that going to work? And, you know, unfortunately for Zach Evans, I don't think he's going to make this team. I think there's a chance he'll be back on the practice squad, but I don't think he's going to make it. I do think Boston Scott's going to make it. Those are the only two running backs that ran today. Ronnie Rivers is a lock, folks. I know there were some people saying they saw Ronnie Rivers play last week. I still don't think he played. I mean, I'm going to tell you that right now because there's still people out there that believe he played, and maybe he did. Maybe I'm the one that's wrong. Okay. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but I don't believe he played. I went back and I looked and I still was like, he didn't play. So let's see here. Let's go to rushing. Okay. He did not play. Not one snap did he register. So not one offensive snap for Ronnie Rivers. He did not play, folks. That is final. He did not play last week. He didn't play this week. Ronnie Rivers is a lock, whether you want to admit it or not. I know not everybody's a huge fan of his, but he did not play. So moving on to the wideouts, I thought you saw some great things, obviously, out of Jordan Whittington. Okay, he just continued to do what he does. I've told you guys on this show, I've been a big, big fan of Jordan Whittington. You know, I had actually done a video for Super Sleepers that I thought the Rams should go out and draft, and Whittington was one of those guys. And obviously now I'm very, very excited to see Jordan Whittington rocking number 88 for the LA Rams. Whittington looked really good. I mean, eight, you know, targets. He came down with five of them for 52 yards. Looks like a confident player. Obviously, this guy can block. He's going to be a part of this offense during the regular season. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. J.J. Lapp, we mentioned earlier, the Cortland product, had the touchdown, the 47-yard bomb. Does that get him on the practice squad? Who knows? But that was a really nice play by Lapp, and of course coming down with the catch. Not everyone can do that, so that was good to see. Xavier Smith, though, I thought today was a big day for Xavier Smith. He showed a lot of presence as a receiver, but then he also did plenty in the return game, averaging 25 yards per return. He had two returns for 50 yards in the punt return game. I think Xavier Smith is going to end up knocking Tyler Johnson off this 53. I think Smith is somebody they have to keep. He offers punt return ability, kick return ability, gadget ability, very similar to Brandon Powell, but he's way more athletic in my opinion. And I just think that, you know, with Smith, there are going to be people that look at, oh yeah, he's the 5'9", whatever, but You know, the reality is Xavier Smith is a very intriguing player who's getting better and better and has had a great camp. Every report that has come out has said that X has given it to them, if you know what I mean. So, look, Xavier Smith, I think he's going to make this 53. I thought today was a big day for him. And, you know, those are my thoughts. But as far as the receivers go, those were kind of the big names. Tyler Johnson hasn't really done much. You know, so I was expecting more out of him. He had a catch for 19. Davis Allen had a chain mover catch, two for 13. Hunter Long and Drake Stoops had targets, but no catches. Nikola Kalanick, did you guys see him? The tight end that no one talks about, he looked outstanding in those limited opportunities. I thought Kalanick looked really good, really fluid as a receiver. I don't know if Hunter Long's going to make this roster, but I think I'd rather see Nikola Kalanick make this roster over him, just because I know who Hunter Long is. I don't know who Nikola Kalanick is, but I really like that you know kind of ability that he was kind of showcasing there. So very intriguing there. Kalanick is somebody that they got, you know, from the CFL essentially. So that's really all that there is to it. He's stuck around the building. He'll probably go on the practice squad, but he's intriguing to me. Very intriguing. Forrest Stahl had the game winning touchdown last week. Kalanick had some really key and critical plays in this game. Two catches for 34, including a 22-yard reception where he looked, again, really smooth, really fluid, hard to bring down after contact. Really good stuff from Kalanick. So today, you know, there were some turnovers that the Rams came down with. They forced a fumble. You know, they actually forced two fumbles. But they also had an interception, Jalen McAuliffe. And I think he's been playing so well. I'd like to see him make the 53, but I don't know if he's going to. There's just so many guys, I guess, in the way. But I think when you look at the defense, let's just start from the top. I mean, Omar Spates was everywhere, okay? Omar Spates was everywhere. Really impressed with him. Big number 48 from LSU, the UDFA. I would love to see him make this team. I think he's a very, very talented linebacker. It is a reminder that you can still find talented football players, guys that just know how to ball. You can still find these guys even after the draft. I know we've already kind of figured this out. Corey Littleton, Roddy McLeod. The Rams have found plenty of UDFAs, but I mean, I really, really like Spates. I think they need to keep him. I think he's just a guy that, in my opinion, he's everything the Rams are looking for on the defensive side of the ball. They've made it known very early on. They have a premium. They put a premium on tackling, okay, and physicality. And we've seen that. And so Spates is no different. I mean, 7 solo tackles of his 8 that led the team today, 2 tackles for a loss. The guy lays the wood. I mean, you saw in, you know, just the special teams, he is a physical player who is going to add something to the special teams unit and could find himself getting on the field sooner than later if he is brought onto this roster. I think he could make a run to get onto this defense somehow. I also think Jacob Hummel could make a run. I don't see Jacob Hummel playing at all in week 3 of the preseason. He was awesome. He didn't play as long as Spates, but he also has a locked up, like, he's not going anywhere. He'll make the roster. Hummel looked really good. The athleticism has always been there. And he just does a great job. He had a great tackle in particular where it looked as though Easton Stick was going to run for the first down, and Hummel kind of contorted his body in a way, not Hummel contorting his own, but contorted Easton Stick's body in a way where he wasn't able to get that first down. I thought that was really heady play, and I think that's just something that we've grown to notice from these guys. These are very smart, conscientious type of players, and when you look at Hummel and you look at Spates and how they just cover a wide range all over the field, sideline to sideline, the Rams have some good ones, and it makes watching a preseason game a little bit more fun than maybe it would be. So I really like the depth. Fadu Kassi got in on it. 3 solo tackles for him. Is he going to make the roster? I don't know, but I think they do like him, and he's obviously a great special teamer. But he's somebody with that experience. Maybe he could. Russ Yeast played surprisingly. He had a pass breakup. Sean Jolly had a pass breakup. Jalen McAuliffe had 2 and the interception on the batted ball. Jason Taylor had a pass breakup. I think when you look at these guys, the Rams just have so many defensive players that are intriguing in some capacity that it is not going to be an easy cut day. I mean, just think about this. They just signed Carlos Watkins. Okay. This is a 31-year-old interior defensive lineman, depth piece. He came in, he got a strip sack like in his debut as a Ram. He could make the team, right? So there are different things. The roster math has to make sense. Okay. That's why, like, I don't see them keeping Zach Evans and Boston Scott. It's one or the other. It's not going to be both. I think it's going to be Scott. If they kept 5 running backs, well, then they can't keep as many interior defensive line, or they can't keep as many, you know, inside linebackers or safeties or what have you. And I think this team wants to put a premium on defense because there's not a lot of proven talent, you know, in that depth pool. There are guys that we think are going to end up being something, but they're not guys that we know what they are. So I think it's smart. If you're going to overload anything, overload the offensive line. You can never have too much offensive line depth. And on the defensive side, overload, you know, your linebackers, your defensive linemen, your secondary. So I think that is kind of the direction they need to go in. That's kind of the direction I do see them going in. Does Carlos Watkins make this team? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Tanner Engel is a player they really like. Corey Durden, I thought, had a good day. O'Shawn Mathis had a fumble recovery. He also had a tackle for a loss. He looked pretty good today. He didn't look as great last week. Van Valkenburg came, you know, really hot off the edge. Almost had, you know, a sack there. Keir Thomas showed some moments. Nick Hampton looks like a lock to make this team. So there's definitely a lot to take away. You know, Tyler Davis, we didn't really see as much. Didn't really stand out the way he did last week. Deswan Johnson didn't really play as much. And Trey Tomlinson, I don't know if he's going to make this roster, folks. It sucks, and I really like him. But I don't know if he's going to make this roster, if I'm being honest with you. I really do have concerns about that. I think they're only keeping 4 corners. We did not see, for the record, Jerry Jacobs. Okay, so we didn't see him. And we very rarely, I mean, I think we saw Warren McClendon Jr. for a little bit at right tackle, but it wasn't the whole game like last week. So, you know, I think looking at this, the Rams will have a pretty good idea as of right now who they're keeping. I don't think week 3 will decide that. I don't even think necessarily this preseason game will decide who makes it, but I do think they look in everything. And I think, you know, going into next week, we saw it last year. We saw the Rams, they cut quite a few guys, if I am not mistaken, before the 3rd preseason game. I think we're going to see that again. So just be aware. I think we're going to get a bunch of roster cuts, you know, probably I would say Monday, Tuesday. But I think we're going to get a bunch of roster cuts after this weekend. As far as Coach Ray is asking, why haven't they re-signed Akello? There is some mutual interest there, but it's a matter of making things work. Kello does not necessarily want to, you know, play as a backup. He wants to start. And so there are a lot of teams out there that are interested in him, and the market just has not been great for corners, especially if you're, you know, above the age of 27 years old. So that's been kind of the holdup. There's a lot of interest with Akello Witherspoon, and the Rams are interested, but I don't know how that's going to go. There is a chance he's back, but again, there's a lot of teams that are interested. And this is, let this be a reminder to anyone who ever comments about a player, well, if he's so good, why has no one signed him yet? This is why, by the way. Okay, no one's signed him yet. Because it takes two to tango. And, you know, for the people that are like, if Kelo's so good, why isn't he on a team? Well, there's a lot of players that are really good and they are on teams. The reality is, when you're a veteran, you don't want to go and play in preseason. You don't want to go and play in training camp, right? You just want to go into the regular season. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you also want to get paid. Like, keep in mind, Akello Witherspoon took a team-friendly deal, a prove-it deal, 1 year, $1 million. He was the best corner on the team. He had a very good year. A lot of the analytics support that. And despite that, he's now getting offered just about the same deal the following season. So, I mean, to be fair to him and to be fair to any, you know, corner, this cornerback market has gone severely downhill for anybody that's above the age of 27. It's why Stephon Gilmore hasn't signed anywhere, right? Everyone's like, how is Stephon Gilmore, you know, how is he not signed? You know, but like, you don't look at that like, see, when Kelo isn't signed, people look at that and they hate on him. And they're like, oh, well, he's not signed because he's not good enough. But then Stephon Gilmore's not signed and you never hear he's not good enough. People are just like, why is he not on the team? Or why is he not on the team? Whatever. So that's really what it is. I hope I kind of explained that the best I could. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. We will see. I don't think this team is a finished product. I don't. I think there's a lot of different things that they can do, entirely, but you know, I definitely think adding Kelo at some point, if they're able to do that, makes their secondary very strong. Their secondary, they're going to have a hard time cutting these safeties. Let me tell you. Okay. And you can't keep seven safeties, even if you want to. Six seems like a lot. Five is probably the number they go with. And if you think about it, who's really fighting for a roster spot at this point? Quinton Lake is locked in. Cam Curl is locked in. Cameron Kinchins did not even play today. He could not be any more locked into this roster. So those are three guys. John Johnson III locked in. So it's four guys, okay? It's four already. And at safety, you have Jason Taylor II who's making plays. You have Russ Yeast who started games last year. You have Jalen McAuliffe who we continue to talk about, right? So there are a lot of safeties here that you kind of can only really choose one of those three, four, because Tanner Engel, you can only choose one of those four, in my opinion, to be that fifth safety. If they keep six, okay, but it's going to be tough, and there's not a guarantee. If Russ Yeast is playing in this game, there's not a guarantee he's going to make the roster, okay? It was a really good sign for Cameron Kinchins as far as if you're rooting for him to get on the field as soon as possible. He's never going to miss the team, but if you're rooting for a guy like Cameron Kinchins to make it onto the defensive field as soon as possible during the regular season, well, this was a good game for you. If you're a Cameron Kinchins fan, him not being out there was really good for you. It looked really good, right? So I wanted to point that out there. I wanted to make that clear. You know, Kinchins, he looks really good in camp and what have you. So that's something I definitely wanted to put out there. Now, I want to also say this. There's going to be moves that are made after they do the 53-man roster. The 53-man roster, whenever that comes to be, is not the guaranteed 53. You have to know that by now, but if you don't, well, there you go. Now you know. So there are potential moves that could happen. We just saw Matthew Judon was traded to the Falcons, okay, and they signed Justin Simmons. Teams are still making moves. So the Rams, this is not their final roster. I didn't even get a chance to cover Carlos Watkins. It's been a heck of a week, but I didn't even get a chance to cover Carlos Watkins signing with the Rams. I wouldn't have said much. He's not somebody that is going to start for you. He's a rotational guy, has some capabilities as an interior rusher, but mainly he's for, you know, the run game and just a depth piece, right? But they could absolutely go out and sign somebody else. They could shock everybody and keep a guy like Charles Woods, who you just don't see, right? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised what they do. because they've done so many different things in the past. They've gone out and they've gotten former friends. You know, they re-signed John Johnson not that long ago. We were just talking about that. Like, oh, he's back, you know? So never assume that it's a finished product. The roster is, you know, a living and breathing thing that can always change. The NFL, in a sense, is like that. So, yeah. Now, there's one more game left in preseason, folks. It's against the Houston Texans next week. I would have to imagine you're going to see half of Stetson Bennett and probably half of Dresser Wynn. They'd want to get him some snaps. Not really sure what we're going to see on the offensive line. That will be very telling. I thought, once again, you saw good things out of Logan Bruss. You saw good things out of Zach Thomas, out of course, Bo Limmer. And you didn't see Warren McClendon Jr. that long. So, you know, that's probably a good sign for him. Arcuri had a penalty that was a little costly. It's not the greatest, but, you know, he didn't have a horrible day. I will say this, the pass protection wasn't as good as last week. So whether that had anything to do with, you know, McClendon Jr. coming out of the game or not, I don't know. But yeah, like I did want to point that out. So Rams won 13-9. If you're just now joining us, because I know not everybody watched this game. It was kind of a pain in the ass to find this game. It's supposed to be on NFL Plus. So I have the NFL Plus login and everything, and I put it in and it's just a black screen. So I had to kind of, you know, shop around and find where I could actually watch this game. So yeah, it was, you know, I don't know, but that's it. So how's everyone doing? How we all doing? Appreciate you guys being here. We have over 360 people. Be sure to hit the like button. And I also want to share something with you guys. So if at any point, and you probably, at least one person in here, at least one person, I can guarantee you, has asked, hey, do you have an audio podcast? Are these videos and live streams on audio? Well, I can say finally that yes. So this isn't going to be audio until tomorrow, but if you guys want to check it out, it's called The Jake Ellenbogen Show. And you can check it out on your podcast app, whatever that may be. And essentially, this is what it looks like. So there you go. It's the Jake Ellenbogen Live, a show about the Los Angeles Rams. So you can go and check that out. I don't know if it's going to zoom in or anything like that. Probably not. Nope. Didn't do anything. But yeah. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're going to have, like, every now and then we'll have a exclusive audio-only episode. So, yeah, definitely go download that. Give it a 5-star review. I know a lot of people. I prefer to stare at your face. I know a lot of people have asked me to go on audio. So I listened, and now we're on audio. Obviously, Downtown Rams has been on audio. Alexis and I will record the next episode of Downtown Rams soon. So look out for that as well. But yes, definitely excited to give audio a shot. Haven't given it a shot on this at all. Yes, we're currently on Kick. I guess the title is incorrect. They're telling me to change it. So yeah. Be on top of things, otherwise you look like a fool. And that would be me right now. There we go. Number 48, the GOAT, says JCJ. Appreciate you guys on Kick watching. Yeah, Cardi won the he won the kicking job. Yep, he won the kicking job. He is the Rams kicker for the 2024 season. And I hope everyone is understanding of the fact he's a rookie. It's not guaranteed that it's going to be a major success right away. But, you know, we'll find out. I think he's going to be really good. I'm very high on him. I was super excited when they drafted him. That was the kicker I wanted. There were other guys, Will Richard, Cam Little, to name a few, but Harrison Meavis. But I felt like Josh Cardy was the best kicker in the draft. So I was very excited that the Rams thought that as well, and they drafted him. Yep. It's on Spotify. It's on every podcast platform. So if you haven't checked it out already, definitely go and do that. You don't have to listen to it there, but if you want to help me out, hitting a subscribe and, you know, dropping a 5-star review would go a long way, because we're just trying to grow everywhere. You know, that's how it is. That is just how it is. But yeah. Does anyone have any questions before we wrap this show up? 2024 sixth round. I know they nailed it. They nailed it, Michael. They did with Cam Dicker. Yep, that was dumb. How was my day? Jordan, it was fun. Aside from, you know, the Yankees losing earlier, you know, the Rams got a win. I know it was only preseason, but that was fun. But yeah, I mean, you know, this is my third show I've done today. Two for the Rams. One was on Bleacher Report, and then this one, of course, is on YouTube. So yeah, I mean, it's been a good day, Jordan. I appreciate you asking. I don't need a hell of a whole lot to have it be a good day. Just essentially don't have it be a bad day. Nah, I kid. But wide receiver 3, I would say, is DeMarcus Robinson, to answer your question. Aaron Judge is definitely better than Trevor Story. Yep. I need a good star set song. Yeah, well, that's not hard to find. Sunshine, I can absolutely be a Rams and Yankees fan. They exist, by the way. They do. Nuisance. Can I think? I mean, I'd go down. I would definitely go on their show if they asked me, but I haven't gotten anything asking me to go on their show. If I got an invite, I'd go on, but I'll never, and this will be something to put it out there, I'll never beg to go on a show. This is not me. We'll not do that. So yeah, I mean, if they want to have me on, I'm around. I'm not going to become a Dodgers fan. I'm sorry, SM. SM, you had the best YouTube comment ever, calling Brock Purdy a, what was it, an industry plant. That was hilarious. That was absolutely hilarious. Said that during the roundtable, which, by the way, folks, if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the NFC West roundtable. I'm on there every single Tuesday night defending the Rams against, you know, my buds, but of course, 49ers, Cardinals, and Seahawks. So, you know, Roseboom was a UDFA. Yep. So was Hummel. What's up, Sunshine? Do I think the Rams will ever value a legit meta type wide receiver over 6 foot, 200 pounds with a 4.4 better speed? I mean, I think that any team would value that. But if that person that you just described can't block, can't run routes, can't separate, oh yeah, they have 4.4 speed, but they can't actually separate, because, you know, I hate to break it to you, but 4.4 and better speed, well, corners are matching that nowadays, right? Pretty easily. So, you know, it's not just measurables. I mean, Cooper Kupp's 6'2", Puka Nacua is 6'2". You know, it's not really about measurables for me. I would need to know, can this guy run routes? Does he understand the verbiage? Is this somebody that can block? Because if you can't block as a wide receiver, you're not making the Rams 53-man roster. You're just not doing that. So either that or you have a lot to offer where they'll just overlook that. But it's not a common thing. So what's up, SoCal? Hey, Paul. I'm doing well. Hope you're doing well. I mean, that's fair, Sunshine. That's definitely fair. They've targeted it before. I mean, Kenny Britt was essentially that. I guess during the Sean McVay era, maybe they haven't, because, I mean, Robert Woods is 6 feet. Cooper Kupp was 6'2". Brandon Cooks, we'll call him 5'10". Josh Reynolds was 6'3", but he wasn't like a big-bodied receiver. He was just tall. I guess Kenny Britt would be the one. Kenny Britt and Brian Quick are the closest thing to what you're talking about. And Brian Quick didn't run a 4.4. Kenny Britt did. Brian Quick did not. Brian Quick ran a 4.6. They did. I didn't see much of Tyler Davis today. I don't think today's game was as fun as last week's. By the way, everyone hit the thumbs up button, also known as the like button, if you haven't already. We have almost 300 people still in here, and we have over 100 likes. Let's see if we can get up to 200 before we wrap this thing up. Tyler Davis is definitely a lock, no doubt about it. They draft him in the fourth round, right? I mean, they're not cutting him. Clippers have a cool arena. That's cool. I didn't even really realize. I knew that they were moving from Staples Center, but I wasn't sure when. I agree, Brian. I think Kupp is going to be a big force. I think he is going to be absolutely huge, and I don't think people are ready for it, if I'm being honest. Yeah, so TD played a little bit and came out almost right away. That's smart. We'll have the actual snap counts tomorrow. I was looking for it. I don't think they're available until tomorrow. So we'll have the snap counts. I'll do my kind of recap on that next week. You got the Texans and Rams, like I mentioned. Ben Skowronek currently is nursing a leg injury, so he might not even play, but Cam Akers would be going up against the Rams the first time since he was traded. So yeah, so next week it is August 24th, my dad's birthday, next Saturday. The last preseason game of the year for the Rams. And then the next game will be actual football. Will be, and I don't mean to say that negatively, but will be a regular season game. We'll just have to wait extra long because it's Sunday Night Football. But, I mean, it should be fun, you know? It definitely should be fun. I'm looking up the dates now for us to know as far as September goes. So, okay. This is kind of confusing. So the Rams must have changed it this year. Oh, wait, no, never mind. I'm an idiot. Don't listen to what I'm saying. August 24th is when the Rams play. So then the 27th, so that would be Tuesday, right? And 25, Sunday, 26, 27, Tuesday. So the Tuesday after, so not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, this upcoming Tuesday, not this, but next Tuesday, is when By 4 p.m. Eastern time, clubs must reduce rosters to a maximum of 53 players on the active/inactive list. Simultaneously with the roster reduction to 53 players, clubs that have players in categories of active/physically unable to perform or active non-football injury or illness must select one of the following options: place player on reserve/physically unable to perform or reserve non-football injury or illness, whichever is applicable. Terminate or request waivers with the designation of failed physical or non-football injury or illness, whichever is applicable. Request waivers, terminate contract, trade contract, or continue to count the player on the active list. Clubs are permitted to designate for a return of maximum two players who are placed on an applicable reserve list during the business day of the final roster reduction. Any such player will immediately count against the club's number of designations, even if the player does not subsequently return to practice. Players who are on the reserve list or exempt list are not counted against the 90-player limit and will begin to count against the... Wait, that doesn't make any sense. Are not counting against the 90-player limit will begin to count against the 90-player limit. Claiming period for players placed on waivers at the final roster reduction will expire at noon the 28th, which is a Wednesday. Let's see here. Upon receipt of the subsequent personnel notice, clubs may establish a practice squad of 17 players as long as one player qualifies as an international player. No club, including the player's prior club, will be permitted to sign a player to a practice squad contract until all clubs have received simultaneous notification via the above personnel notice that such player's prior NFL player contract has been terminated via the waiver system. Beginning at 4 on August 28th, New York time, which is Eastern time, any player placed on reserve/injured, reserved non-football injury or illness, or practice squad injured during the regular season or postseason may be designated to return later in the season, subject to the applicable procedures. So essentially, what they're saying on August 28th, by 4 p.m. So you keep a player on your roster until 4 p.m. on August 28th, you can then move that player to go to reserved injured list, reserved non-football injury or illness list, or practice squad. And if any of them at any point during the season get hurt, you can put them on IR and you can bring them back. Okay? So that is that. That is interesting. It doesn't say anything about suspension, though. So does Jimmy Garoppolo technically have to be on the roster at cutdown day? Now that is the intriguing thing, because I don't know. Like, I'm gonna look that up right now. Do you have to keep a suspended player on the 53-man roster to start the year? Okay. Suspended players do not have to be kept on the 53-man roster to start the year. There we go. I assume that was it, but we don't like assuming. We like knowing. And now we know that Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to count against the 53-man roster. They do not have to give up any sort of roster spot to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. So now we know for sure. I always assumed that was the case, but now we actually know. So I agree with you, Kalsen. I'd love to see them keep Spates. We'll see what ends up happening. Yeah. We shall see, but I think that's going to do it. Appreciate you guys hanging out. Be sure to check out the podcast on all podcasts. Just look up Jake Ellenbogen Live. And yeah, we'll see you guys throughout the week this week. And also, for people asking, you know, why didn't the kick streams happen, all that, I've decided to push that, and obviously I'm on kick right now, but for the film breakdown, I'm pushing that to the start of the season. So regular season, we'll bring back call-ins, but call-ins are going to be a segment. They're not going to be the full show, so that's another thing. I want to make that very clear. The call-ins won't last the entire show. They're going to be a part of the show. So we'll bring back Collins when the regular season happens. And of course, we're going to have the kick, you know, film breakdown streams. So that's that, you know, on the channel. If you guys have any questions or anything, always, you know, feel free to DM me or drop a comment, whatever. And, you know, I'll answer it. But appreciate you guys. And, of course, appreciate BetUS, as always, for sponsoring this live stream. If you liked what you heard at any point in the video, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment. Let me know in the comment section below what you guys thought about this game, about the performance that I just had, because I'm still in the preseason, too. You know, constructive criticism, obviously, is appreciated. But that's going to do it. So appreciate you guys, and I will see you guys in the next video. Take care, folks. Later.
Michael Vick here at BetUS.com. Get it all. Huge bonuses, great odds, a race book, live in-game betting, and a casino. BetUS, my online sports book and casino.